The world of sports is full of exciting careers, from operations and management to sales and promotions. Whatever your calling in sports, a master's degree in sports business from Temple University is your key to success. Hey, it's Brian. Before we get into today's podcast episode, I want to tell you all about Temple University School of Sport, Tourism, and Hospitality Management. At Temple, they integrate real-world experience into a dynamic curriculum taught by industry professionals. That's the formula that works, people. A balance of hands-on with classroom experience from top professionals. Learn how you can earn your master's degree in sports business in 2 years or less. Visit sthm.temple.edu/sports to get started today. One more time. Visit sthm.temple.edu/sports to get more information and to get things started going today. Now, let's start the countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hey everybody, I'm Brian Clapp, VP of Content and Engaged Learning at WorkInSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports podcast. I have to tell you, later this afternoon, I am interviewing Dan Duquette for this podcast, and I'm a little bit more than fired up. Dan Duquette was the GM of the Montreal Expos, the Boston Red Sox, and the Baltimore Orioles. He's a two-time Major League Baseball Executive of the Year. He traded for Pedro Martinez. He signed Manny Ramirez. He traded Heathcliff Slocum for Derek Lowe and Jason Varitek. I mean, genius. He set the 2004 Boston Red Sox up for their World Series, even though he wasn't there. As a diehard Red Sox fan, I am in mind-blowing, don't mess this up mode right now. I usually prep about 10 questions for each interview subject. With Dan, I seriously wrote like 25 questions down in like 10 minutes. I was just blowing them out. It was awesome. For all you Orioles fans out there, I would like to remind you that even though your team may be terrible now, I'd like to remind you it was he, Dan Duquette, who led them to the playoffs in 2012 for the first time since 1997 and won the American League East in 2014. The guy's a baseball genius. He's been in baseball since 1980. He knows a thing or two. He's going to be talking about his career, but he's also going to be talking and discussing a new online course in baseball player development that he's launching with our friends over at Sports Management Worldwide. It's cool. So you think of, you know, you draft a player and then eventually you hope they make it to the majors. Well, this process of player development is everything that happens in between, right? Getting them from potential to like raw potential to actual potential, that development process through the minors and their mental game and everything that goes into it. And that's their class that they're developing. So Dan's coming on to talk a little bit about that, but also to just, you know, dig into his career, which I'm super fired up about. Can you tell? Like, am I hiding it well? All right, tune into that interview next Wednesday. This Wednesday, so in 2 days, is another great interview with Dennis Adamovich, who's the CEO of the College Football Hall of Fame. We talk a lot about leadership, about event management, and who he admires in the game today. Really cool conversation. That's on Wednesday, so tune into that. All right, so what's on tap for today? Fan question. Love fan question day. But before we get into that, a little perspective and hopefully some inspiration. I'm not a guy who appreciates the cheesy sayings people put on their wall to motivate themselves. It's just not my thing. I get it. I understand other people are motivated by it. I understand it works for them. I understand people love to have a sign that says there's no traffic on the extra mile or something like that that keeps them focused. It doesn't do that for me. It's just not the way I work. But I absolutely love it when someone lives in a way that represents truth and perspective, like actual doing it. So maybe you've heard this story, but maybe not. Sadio Mane, who is, and it might be Mane, I don't know. He is a Liverpool soccer star from Senegal who earns around $10 million annually. Well, he was spotted recently by fans and he was carrying a cracked iPhone. And somehow that became a story. People started asking him, and by people, I mean media, started asking him, why? Why do you, a man of great means, suffer through a cracked iPhone? Oh, the horror. But it led to a really cool exchange. His response is legendary. Okay, so this is him now. Why would I want 10 Ferraris, 20 diamond watches, and 2 jet planes? What would that do for the world? I starved. I worked in the fields. I played barefoot, and I didn't go to school. Now I can help people. I prefer to build schools and give poor people food and clothing. I have built schools, and I've built a stadium. We provide clothes, shoes, and food for people in extreme poverty. In addition, I give 70 euros per month to all people from a very poor Senegalese region in order to contribute to their family economy. I do not need to display luxury cars, luxury homes, trips, or even planes. I prefer that my people receive a little of what life has given me. I love this man. Like Floyd Mayweather, hello, are you listening? Hat tip to Alina Mnookin for sharing this on LinkedIn earlier today. And you know what? When I see stuff like that, when I see somebody living it, I'm going to share it. I'm going to talk about it. I'm not going to do this, quote stuff, but I'm going to give you a little bit of real life there. Keep that in perspective. Okay. Have that expectation for our stars. All right. Now let's get to today's question. It is from Nick in Salisbury, Maryland. Hey, Brian. I've heard you talk tangentially about how to optimize your resume to defeat the applicant tracking systems, but I haven't heard you speak specifically to address how. So how do you do it? So Nick, I'm going to read and answer your question primarily because you used the word tangentially. I found that pretty impressive. I think it's also a fair critique. I may have mentioned the importance of defeating the applicant tracking systems in passing, but maybe I never got into the nuts and bolts of it. So let's do that because I do think it's an important conversation that we should be having. So let's do a quick explainer on how ATS systems work so anybody that's listening and isn't familiar can understand. ATS stands for Applicant Tracking Systems. And what does that mean? It means it's a system used by organizations to track all the people that apply for their jobs. It keeps everything in order. But it's also a way for them to search and filter and find and discover the best possible candidates. So instead of somebody going through 1,000 resumes by hand, they use an applicant tracking system to filter through resumes and find out, is this person a match for what we need? I mean, it's that simple, really. Like, rather than looking through 1,000 resumes, they put all the resumes through this applicant tracking system. They tell the system, this is what we need from this role. And the system pops out, 20 matches, 50 matches, 100 matches, or whatever. It's a starting point. Okay. And as I tell everybody all the time, if you don't have a resume that is optimized for each individual role you're applying for, you never beat the system enough so I even know you exist. Like, I don't even see you. You don't exist to me. You're applying for my job. If you don't get through that first filter and you're a match for the job, I don't even know you exist. It's no offense. I don't read your cover letter. I don't even know you exist. So what I talk about all the time, and I use that word defeat the applicant tracking systems, but let's be honest, it's not really defeating. What I want to do is set you up to succeed within this system because we're not trying to trick the system. And I'm going to get into that a little bit later. You're trying to make sure that your best qualities are on display. That's a different thing. We're not trying to trick it. We're trying to just make sure the best of you is shown and the things that apply most to this job are displayed. So let's talk about that. Okay. Number one, only apply for jobs you are qualified for. That is the most important thing I can tell you. And there's a lot of reasons for it, but the basics are this. You're not going to get through if you're not qualified for the job. If you don't have the skill set they need, you're wasting everybody's time. And that does build up your reputation in the industry as somebody who just wants to work in sports rather than they want this particular job. Like I say this all the time, but teams don't necessarily want to hire fans of their team, right? It's not a down thing. It's not a bad thing to say, hey, I'm passionate about this organization. I grew up loving it or whatever, but they also can view that as a distraction. But even more important, that's not a qualifying experience. Like, don't apply for the job if you can't actually do the job because you're wasting everybody's time and they're keeping track. That's what this system does. It keeps track of your history. So let's go on to number two. Don't apply for a ton of jobs at the same company. Now, here's why for that. You basically get a account made for you. When you apply for a job with any company, They have your name now in the database, and next to your name will put all the jobs that you've applied for. And if they're looking at you for a job and they see you've applied for 15 jobs at this company in the last year, well, what message does that tell them? That tells them you want to work here no matter what. Not necessarily you want this job. And that's an important distinction. You might tell yourself that, oh, that shows them that I really want to work for their organization. Not really. What you're telling them is that you're not in love with any of these jobs. You just want to work for the company. And that's not what they want. They want somebody that wants this job, that is qualified for this opening, that wants to do this job and thrive in it. Not just be in the building, not just have a Philadelphia Eagles name tag, not just be able to buy gear at discount. They want somebody that wants to be the email marketing coordinator or wants to be an intern in their seasonal program or whatever. They want them to want that role. And if you on your file with this team have applied to 15, 20 jobs, then that sends the wrong message. So do not be applying for tons and tons of jobs at one company. Only apply, going back to number one, only apply for jobs you are qualified for. Number three, don't try any tricks you see on the interwebs that seem like they are bypassing your lack of qualifications. Here's what I mean. If you see somewhere where it's like, defeat the applicant tracking system, make sure to highlight keywords in white, or change your font to this, or do this trick, or this hack, don't do that. Either you're qualified for the job or you're not, right? Either you have the skills for the role and you can do it, or you don't, period. What we're talking about is trying to make sure your skills come to the forefront. If you're trying to do little tricks and things, eventually a human is going to read your resume and they're going to see right through it and they're going to be like, this is crap. You just got here for the wrong reasons. It's going to make them question their applicant tracking system maybe, but it's not going to make them hire you. You might get through a first part. You might get noticed. You might get to a point where somebody looks at it and then no further. But tricking the system isn't what we're looking for here. Okay, that's not going to work. What does work is making sure you, number four, making sure you include all the right keywords. Now, again, the job description that you will find on workinsports.com, all the jobs that we have, we have 25,000 jobs in the industry right now. That job description of what they're hiring for is basically your open book test. They're telling you what we want from this role. They're telling you the requirements, the expectations, all of those things. So make sure that you understand what things they're talking about and make sure you have examples of them in your resume of how you've done these things in the past and your proof of concept that you've achieved them with great aptitude. If you are still in this mind frame that one resume suits all jobs, you are desperately wrong. You need to make sure your resume is customized for each experience, for each job you may be applying for, and making sure that it has it meshes with the job description. Now, don't make stuff up. Don't say that I can do this when you can't, just to stuff your keywords in there. Make sure, though, that you're getting the extra effort in there for jobs, that you are really targeting your resume so that you are a match for these roles. If you have the right skill sets, highlight the right things. Make sure they're in the right position. Okay. Number five, keep your keywords in context. Okay. Here's what that means. There was a time period where everybody started to understand how the applicant tracking systems were working. And they said, oh, great. They're just looking for keywords and they're looking for certain skills, Photoshop or Adobe Premiere Pro or whatever. So people would just stuff them in and repeat them or put them as bullet points or whatever. And after a while, the computers were like, huh, we need to adjust our system here, because what's happening is people are just stuffing in keywords and it's not actually telling us whether they're qualified for this role. So what the computer systems have done, the applicant tracking systems have done, their version 5.0 or whatever, is they've started to look for these words that they are isolating, these important keywords. They're starting to look for them in context. So they want to see that you've explained your Photoshop skills. You've talked about how you use Adobe Premiere Pro to do your job, or whatever skill it is that they're looking for. They are actually able to understand the entire context of where that word is placed. So if you're just stuffing a bunch of bullet points up at the top part of your resume, that's not going to stand out as if you explained them in context. So don't just keyword stuff. Don't just jam in a bunch of things so that you hit a ton of different keywords that aren't necessarily applicable, but there's one of everything in there, hoping that will make you stand out. It's not going to work. Okay. Number six, avoid fancy formatting. Okay. So think about this. The applicant tracking system, what it actually does is it takes your resume and puts it all into like one massive paragraph. Like I've seen the way that they actually parse the data and, and it basically takes your fancy looking resume and puts it into like one massive paragraph almost. And then it will highlight certain words that you've been looking for. And then it's easy for you to find them in the scope of things. Well, if you have lots of fancy formatting, like columns and pictures and this and that and weird bullet points or whatever, the system has a hard time reading that. The system has a hard time knowing, am I reading this left to right straight across, or do I go down this column, or do I go this way or that way? And sometimes the sentences and the words and everything get really jumbled up. So if you have crazy formatting on your resume or doing something super unique that you think looks really cool in a PDF when you hand it to somebody, that doesn't necessarily work for the applicant tracking systems. So what I usually advise people is have one version of your resume that is pretty. It looks really good. Right? Have that to hand out to people, have that with you, have that at career fairs, have that wherever, you know, you might need to have somebody that's a human that you're going to hand it to. That's great. Then have another version of your resume that's a little bit more stripped down. It makes sure everything is easily readable, make sure everything is in left to right format, no columns, all these little things, keep it pretty simple. And then it makes it much easier for the computers to read your resume. Okay. Number seven, this is a big debate. Jeez, I actually had people arguing this one with me for a long time. I actually started like a Twitter fury one day. File type. What do you submit your resume in? Some people will swear to PDF, right? Again, this is your pretty display. But I'm telling you, I've talked about this with many applicant tracking system companies, and they say PDFs look beautiful, but they're very hard for us to parse the data from. They're very hard for us to read. They're very hard for us to format. So don't use PDFs. Use a DocX file, which is a Microsoft Word file. That is a standard, is an industry standard, and it's super easy for the ATSs to understand it, to process it, and to categorize all your information. It won't look as pretty. But that's not what we're going for here. We're making sure the substance of your resume is being read. That's what we're looking for, substance. We're not trying to trick any systems. We're not trying to be fancy formatting. We want the substance of your resume to get through the system. Number eight, and the final advice that I'm going to give. I'm not getting information, I'm giving information. See, these words are hard. You will eventually be read by a human, right? So make sure that your resume is readable. And focus on metrics. These things work in applicant tracking systems and when humans read it. You have to think both ways. You're not going to hit a part of the process. So like, for example, I would have a job requisition that would open up when I was at Fox Sports Northwest, and I'd get the HR department would run it through the applicant tracking system. We'd get certain matches back. They would come to me. So at first, the first filter was the applicant tracking system, and they'd filter it out. But then it would come directly to me, and I get to look at the actual resumes of people and read their cover letters. Well, there was no secondary chance for you to resubmit. There wasn't like, oh, well, now you got through this phase. Now give us your one that's really pretty for the hiring manager to look at. You don't get that. So you have to make sure it kind of fits both. So don't bypass the fundamentals of a good resume. And what I mean by that is make it readable. But at the same time, focus on metrics. Focus on proof and data points that you can do the job and that you've done it effectively. Talk about how you raised Twitter followers by X percentage. Talk about how you reduced expenditures, or you increased revenue, or you improved turnover, staff turnover by implementing a culture plan, or whatever it is. Give me some data points, because that speaks to humans and it gives you the context around your data, around your keywords when you submit it to the applicant tracking systems. So know and understand that I think the data point, and I might be a little bit off on this because I'm doing this off the top of my head, I think 92% of all organizations use an applicant tracking system. So go under the premise that you're going to get filtered by the machines, right? You're going to get looked at there first. So make these adjustments. Don't look for ways to cheat the system. Look for ways to make sure the best of you shines through. That's all we're going for. All right. Nick, was it Nick that asked this question? Let me go back through my notes. Yes, Nick, I hope that answered. I hope that was more than a tangential response, that I actually dug into it and gave you some things to work on. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Always great to be here with you all. Again, Dennis Adamovich on Wednesday, CEO of the College Football Hall of Fame. I've had a really great run lately. I'm interviewing the commissioner of the ECHL later this week. I'm also interviewing the director of sports sponsorship for Anheuser-Busch. I'm interviewing the director of business strategy for the Atlanta Falcons. Last week, I interviewed the director of corporate sponsorships for the New York Jets, the associate athletic director for marketing for Iowa State University. I mean, these are all episodes that are coming up soon. We're on a great run here. Lots to tune into. So stay with us. Stay listening. Subscribe. Send reviews wherever you listen and just be a part of our community. We love having you. Thanks, everybody. Time to get back to work.